This episode is sponsored by the On with Origins podcast. Learn how crediting experts conquer today's toughest challenges while driving measurable results. Before we get started, a quick word from our sponsor, Community Financial's present CEO, Tansley Stern's new podcast, Despite Impossible. Now on to the show. Talk about what you talked about just maybe like an hour or so ago, and I love the title of your session, and it's the
the joy of regulation.
The joy of regulation in 2023. So share with us, give us a quick overview of the joy that we are experiencing.
Well, the regulatory environment always swings. It's a pendulum, and it has a number of factors ranging from what's going on in the marketplace to who wins the election, to who controls Congress, to who controls the regulatory bodies, whether it's a more activist or a little bit less activist, and tries to meet in the middle, but regulation always swings. It'll swing towards too much regulation, banks, credit unions, others will have a tough time making any income, so then they'll loosen the regulation sometime and they'll go over here and they'll start making so much income, but then somebody will reach out and break the rules and take advantage of it, and so then it swings back towards more regulation. But we're in a period right now that's moving very much towards more regulation.
Okay.
And SVB is contributing to that accelerating, because what ends up happening, and it happened when I was at NCUA, when I was chairman of NCUA, Enron hit, and so we were called before a number of congressional hearings to answer the question, well, what are you doing to make sure that this is not going to happen in credit unions? And so you're going to see that same thing happening following SVB.
Okay.
They had the first hearing this week, and they just had the Treasury Department, the Federal Reserve, and FDIC. Mm-hmm. But that will soon expand, and it'll bring in the NCUA, it'll bring in the OCC, it'll bring in others. And the thing about it is, a regulatory agency, to answer the question, what are you doing to make sure this doesn't happen again, there's really only two things a regulatory agency does. One, it passes regulations, that's what the board approves, new rules.
Right.
And the second is it supervises, it examines, in this case, credit unions, to make sure that they're following the rules, and to make sure they're maintaining safety and soundness as they do so.
Mm-hmm.
And that hook of safety and soundness is a pretty big one. They can hang a lot of things on safety and soundness.
Yeah.
And so what you will see is that the examination teams will get bigger. They will stay longer. They'll ask more questions.
Okay.
They'll become more probing, because the answer that the NCUA and other regulators will give at those hearings is, well, we've increased our regulatory scrutiny. We've increased our supervisory scrutiny. We're seeing in bigger teams.
Mm-hmm.
We have more credit unions that have been downgraded from a 2 to a 3, from a 1 to a 2. We've written up this many more DORs or this many more LUAs.
Mm-hmm.
That's how they show that they are responding. So it's that pendulum that's swinging, and an event like SVB kind of makes it swing a little bit more towards more activists.
Yep, yep.
So that's why I call my remarks the joy of regulation, is that sometimes it's a little bit more joyful than others, but right now, for the next probably year and a half, I think you're going to see more and more supervisory action, more exam findings, and the like.
Mm-hmm.
Should that make you say, well, I'm just going to quit doing things at my credit union? No, I mean, part of my message was, you can't let the fear of the regulator to keep you from doing what you need to do to move your credit union forward. You got to realize the regulator's got a right to ask questions. They will ask questions.
Sure.
You've got to be able to answer those questions. But you can't let the referee call your plays for you.
As we've learned in the NCAA tournament,
that's right.
All too well.
Yeah, that's
for
right.
Sure. So it sounds like they're going to be, NCAA just in this particular, they're going to be amplifying their efforts. Is that
correct
assumption?
Right. And we are already seeing some of that. I mean, NCUA has continued to increase as an agency in size.
Oh, yeah.
Even though the number of credit unions is diminishing down to around 4,900 now.
Mm-hmm.
When I was at NCUA, there were 12,500 credit unions, and NCUA, you know, had, I think, my last year, 1,033 full-time employees.
Mm-hmm.
Now you've got about 4,900 credit unions, and the number of employees is well, you know, in the 1,100, 1,200 range.
Mm-hmm.
So as you have more and more examiners, they are looking more and more in depth, and it's because NCUA feels, in their defense, they feel like as credit unions get bigger, there's more risk there. And there is more potential losses there, but that doesn't necessarily mean there's more risk.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
As credit unions get bigger, yes, if they're doing risky things, there's more potential losses, but that doesn't necessarily mean they're doing riskier things.
Right, right.
And the whole idea of NCUSO and CUSOs is credit unions combining and collaborating together to kind of share that risk.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's a big part of the answer for how credit unions...
to mitigate the risk too, right?
And to mitigate... Oh, yes. And there's a number of CUSOs. You look right around this exhibit hall here, and there's a number of CUSOs that are really designed not necessarily to make money, but to help credit unions save money. They're not going out and saying, you know, this is something that that's going to make you a lot of money. It's going to save you and make you in a better position to comply, better position to answer the questions of the examiners when they come in. So those collaborative solutions, I think, are very, very important.
Agreed.
When you are a small industry competing with the mega banks.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I showed some statistics out there where the 100 largest banks in 1992, they had like 40% of the market. Today, they've got 75% of the market.
Goodness.
The community banks had about 50% of the market, and they're down now to about 18%
Gosh.
Of the market. Credit unions have gone from about 5 to 8.
Yeah, we're in the single digits.
We're still
digit.
In the single digits. The big consolidation in the financial services industry is particularly community banks being bought out by the larger banks.
Mm-hmm.
And now that the larger banks are not buying, that's why they're having to sell to credit unions and some others, because they chartered those banks to be able to eventually sell them, to build them up and sell them.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the big banks have bought about all that they want to buy.
Yeah, yeah.
And then they had the financial crisis. They got all the TARP bailout money, and they couldn't really use that money to buy up a bunch of community banks.
Mm-hmm.
So the community banks had a tough time finding somebody to buy them.
Right.
That's why they've turned to credit unions.
Yeah.
And credit unions have probably bought about 60 or so.
I know. And I actually heard that these banks that are looking to be purchased actually prefer to be bought by credit unions.
Well, the credit union gets them a cash deal.
Exactly.
If Wells Fargo buys them out, Wells Fargo wants to cover the purchase price with Wells Fargo stock.
Yeah.
Well, these guys don't want stock. They're cashing
they
in.
Want cash, exactly.
I do remind folks all the time who say that, well, what are credit unions doing buying banks? I say, remind you, this is not credit unions buying banks. This is banks selling to credit unions.
That's it.
Who initiates the sale?
That's it.
The bank.
And they have to approve it as well.
The credit unions do not have the ability to come in and do a hostile takeover of a bank. That's
mm-hmm.
not what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
What's happening is the bank is looking for their best deal.
Yep.
The board of directors have a fiduciary responsibility to look for the best deal. And if the best deal is a cash deal from a credit union, well, then so be it.
Yep.
I mean, the American Bankers Association and the Independent Community Bankers Association may not like banks selling to credit unions, but bankers kind of like it. They like to have that option.
Sure.
They want to have somebody who can make the deal.
I agree. So what types of regulations are revolving around that? So speaking of the joy of regulation, so because I had Kim Sponheim on from Summit, and she had the biggest bank purchase in Wisconsin, if not the nation. So I really got the story from her. That was wonderful.
Well, Congress has not touched it, which is wise for them to leave it alone, let the marketplace work.
Exactly.
There are a few states that have tried to do it at the state level and say you can't do it. And in some of those cases, the credit unions have challenged, taken them to court, and have won.
Yeah.
So at this particular stage, there's maybe a small handful of states where the state regulators, driven by the pressure of the banking industry, it said you can't do that.
Yeah, yeah.
But by and large, in most states, it's allowed. It's a free market decision, and that's really where it should be left.
I agree.
There's a role for regulation, but regulation should work to try to help the free market work, not to substitute itself for the free market.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Right, right. So let's get back to your talk today. And what are some takeaways? What do you want folks to leave that room with and going back to their office on Monday morning? What do you want them to...
Well, we're back to our analogy that you so aptly brought to the March Madness and the NCAA basketball tournament. And that message was that, you know, no team is going to win if they allow fear of the referee to keep them from calling the plays that they need to call to be able to score. You've got to respect the referee. He's got the flag. He's got the whistle.
Yep.
He can call a penalty or can call a foul. But you can't say, oh, I'm so afraid that I'm going to commit a foul that I'm not going to go toward the basket.
You're right.
I'm always going to be shooting from the half court line so that I won't have a foul. You will lose every game.
Mm-hmm.
And so the message is respect regulation, understand the reason for regulation, but not allow it to make your business decisions for you.
Right.
And I think that is a message in this particular environment when regulation is about to step up, supervision and examination is really going to step up, that it's really easy to say, well, I tell you what, I'm just going to stay in port until these waters calm a little bit.
Yeah.
Problem is, when they calm for everybody else too, including Wells Fargo and Bank of America and J.P. Morgan Chase and Citibank that are hundreds of times bigger than you. So the thing
we're all the same ocean here.
The things that credit unions have going for is that our ships are a little bit smaller, so they're a little bit more maneuverable. They're a little bit quicker to action, quicker to turn.
Yeah.
And we need to take advantage of that.
Yeah. So what? Having said that, kind of wrap up here. What should credit unions be doing over the next few months as things ramp up a little bit, you know, like you said, the examiner, and then, you know, testifying before Congress, all that type of stuff?
Well, preparing, I think, first of all, is to prepare for a tougher examination.
Okay.
Expect it coming in.
Yeah.
Don't say, oh, they're asking all these questions. They sent this bigger team in because I'm doing something wrong. Not necessarily. But they're going to ask you about anything that you're doing new, anything that you're doing different, any new partner that you've brought in. So make sure you answer the questions. I'm assuming you did your due diligence before you made the decision of offering that new product, that new services, entering that new contract. So take that due diligence that you did, have it ready, and when the examiner asks, and he or she will, be able to do it.
Yeah.
So there's some preemptive due diligence in favor of the exam. And the second thing is not to allow the fact that when they come in and ask those questions to make you shy away from making other decisions that you need to make. So, man, I had to answer so many questions about that last project we went into. I don't think we'll do this next one for a couple of years.
Yeah.
The market's not going to slow down and wait on us to catch up. Again, the thing that credit unions have going for us is the fact that, first of all, our members trust us and believe in us. And secondly, is the fact that as smaller institutions, we can be a little bit more nimble.
Yep.
We can be
Precisely.
A little bit, we can move a little bit more quickly. And I think that's an important thing to do.
Yeah, good stuff, good stuff. Anything else to add, Dennis? I know you have a busy schedule.
Oh, it's always a pleasure to visit with you.
Thank you.
It's great to be here at the CUSO conference. This has become such a large conference. I can remember when I was on the NCUA board coming and speaking, probably in 1998, perhaps, 1999, and there was about 85 to 100 at the CUSO conference. I think they got 570 now.
Oh, yeah,
it's become
600.
Yeah, it's become one of the most, I think, innovative, forward-thinking conferences, the kind of speakers and presenters, the groups that get together and just share ideas. I always enjoy it each year. I've worked with CUSO as a part of their advocacy team for probably the last 15 years since I've been in private practice as a consultant. And I think I've probably spoken to just about every one of their conferences.
Have. And we always look forward to it.
Yeah, I'm using their closing speaker. And as I like to say, the 15 people who don't have a flight out always enjoy having a chance to visit with
Dennis,
them.
Dennis, that's not true, man. That's not true.
But I was here today on Wednesday. They don't finish until tomorrow, so I had a bigger crowd today.
Well, I think they have some sort of a special, they have a FinTech Madness, kind of a March Madness thing going on tomorrow.
Right, they do,
But so you're kind of, I think technically you're still kind of wrapping it up for us.
Well, I'm thankful for the opportunity, thankful to be able to have the chance to work with CUSO, to work with credit unions all over the country. I think our firm has worked with about 600 credit unions now.
Wow, really?
Yeah, I told the group we're working on, I think, 43 mergers right now.
What?
In some capacity. It'll be over the next year, 18 months, maybe even 2 years before all of them culminate. And one or two of them may not happen.
Yeah.
But just to show you how much consolidation there is going on in the industry, and it's really it's really continuing. And that's why credit unions are looking for more field of membership. I mean, we do a lot of field of membership work, and that's really increased too, because credit unions say, I don't want to have to merge. I want to be able to increase my footprint.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I've got three counties. I'd like to get to six counties.
Yeah.
Or I'm a multiple group credit union, but I'd like to take in an underserved area over in this city or that city. There's a lot of opportunity still out there, both for federal charters and state charters in that regard. And that kind of comes into play on merger too, because when the two credit unions merge, they have to have a like field of membership. A credit union with a community charter in Chicago can't merge with a credit union that's got a community charter in Minneapolis because they're not the same community.
Right.
Now, if they're seg-based credit unions, they can.
Yeah.
So all of those factors come into it, and you're seeing a whole lot more of that action. It's credit unions trying to prepare for the need for scale.
Mm-hmm.
Back again to that scale question and who we're competing with, folks a lot bigger than us.
A lot of competition out there
right
now. Yeah, and even kind of almost outside the industry. I mean, you got the fintechs, some of the fintechs are nipping at our heels as well.
Not yeah, and that's why it's so exciting about here. So many fintechs are here and so many fintech CUSOs. There's no reason the credit unions have to sit back and let the fintech world lead them out. Mm-hmm. We can be a part. Because most fintechs are feeders of business to some existing right. financial institution.
Yep.
Who's going to be the financial institution that they feed to? Mm-hmm. There's no reason it can't be credit unions.
Yep. Agreed. Dennis, I could talk to you all day long.
And
I
would enjoy that.
All right. Well, I'm going to let you get back at it. Dennis, thank you so much again.
It's
as always.
Always a pleasure, Mike.
I agree. Always. Dennis Dollar, everybody, go check him out. Got some good stuff. You got your cupboards are full, my friend.
Well, long may they be. Long may they be.
Exactly.
A quick word from our sponsor, Community Financial's present CEO, Tansley Stern's new podcast, Despite Impossible. This episode is sponsored by the On with Origins podcast. Learn how credit union experts conquer today's toughest challenges while driving measurable results.